It's the Andy Social Podcast, episode 308. And my guest on this episode is Shep Hyken. Shep is a customer service expert, an author, a keynote speaker, and chief amazement officer of Shep Presentations. Thank you very much. Now, I know a bunch of you will be thinking, Andy, why on earth, of all the people to approach to be on Andy Social, why on earth would you get a customer service expert on the podcast? Why Shep? Well, if you've been following me for a while, you know I love a good book. I'm always reading. I've got my head stuck in a whole bunch of different books. And in more recent times, I've developed a fascination for customer service books. I'm always finding these nuggets of wisdom, these tips and tricks, these insights on how to provide an amazing experience to other people. And I'm in a band and I sell merchandise. I sell t-shirts and CDs and records and patches and all sorts of stuff. And we sell tickets for our shows when we get to play. So we're always providing an experience. People are willing to give us money. And even outside of the band, where I've got my own e-commerce store selling stuff on Discogs, I've always got to provide the best possible experience so people want to come back and keep spending their money on me. So these customer service books are amazing. And I wanted to expose you all, hopefully the musicians that are listening, but everybody who's listening to the podcast, to the customer service world and learning that it's not just the stale corporate sort of stuff that might just go in one ear and out the other and you might glaze over and think it's all boring. It's actually a little bit of self-development. There's a lot of great self-development tools in here and Shep is one of the best in the game. So Hyken.com is the best place to go to check out Shep. Shep's latest book that's just come out a few months ago called I'll Be Back is out now and you can grab that from Amazon and I'll have links in the show notes, of course. He's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'll have those links. So you can follow him on the socials. He's on YouTube. There's a whole stack of books he's written over the years. I've read a bunch of them myself. I'm not going to rattle them all off now, but I'll have a bunch of stuff in the show notes. So you can check it all out over at andysocial.net and andydowling.net. Now, this chat is framed around musicians and we only just dip our toe in the water. So I reckon I'm going to get Shep on again in the future. And some of these other people from the customer service world, these people that I'm reading these books by, I'm going to get a few more and you tell me what you got out of this episode, what you enjoyed, and I'll try and tailor a lot of these conversations around these kind of topics as well, because I think there's a lot of great stuff for musicians in here. So enough crapping on from me. Please enjoy this great chat with the man himself, Shep Hyken. Maybe a great place to start is a little bit of that usual elevator introduction for my audience who might not be familiar with you. Mm-hmm. Shep, do you want to give a bit of a background of who you are?
Sure. I mean, I'm known as a customer service and experience expert, and I make my living going around the world delivering speeches at conferences. In addition to that, we have online training. I have trainers that deliver my content. I write tons of articles and have written 8 books now. And when I say tons would be like 2,000 or more easily.
that's a lot of words, I'm a big fan of what you do. Discovered your stuff a few years ago. And for me, what's really important about customer service is that although a lot of your audience has been tailored to the business world, a lot of my background is musicians, and I think that musicians tend to be a little bit too romantic about their music and forget about the business side of it. And while that sounds a little bit sterile, I think we really need to take our music really seriously as a business and cultivate our community, our supporters, our fans. And so a lot of what you teach and you write about and you talk about, it just translates. It translates over to the music world, and I find that really powerful where musicians can find ways to cultivate and retain their supporters and build that loyalty.
Right. So in the world of business, typical traditional business, we're looking for customer loyalty. And in the music business, we're looking for super fans, which, by the way, isn't a bad thing for any business to shoot for, to have super fans. But let me give you some other background on myself. Everybody thought that I would be a professional musician because, by the way, are we on video or are we just audio?
We're just doing audio. So, yeah.
Just audio. So the people can't see, but behind me, even in my office, I have 2 guitars, an acoustic and electric. I have an amp. I have a lamp that's a guitar lamp. But so I'm totally into music, and I practice for many, many hours, and I still continue to do so. And I played on stages with some of the most incredible professional musicians from some of the biggest rock bands in the world. I've been fortunate to be able to do that. I'm not a professional musician. They just make me look good. The other thing is, I was in the entertainment business, whether it's music or whether it's magic. And the only difference is two letters, A and G or U and S, right? Musician, magician. And we all go about getting the gig the same way. And by the way, that's the same thing a speaker does. That's the same thing a salesperson does when they go out to get any business. Our job, especially in the music industry, it's not about just performing. The performance is the product. It's getting the gig. The job's not doing the gig. It's getting the gig. And we've got to deliver an exceptional product if we want to get invited back to do more and more. That's what customer loyalty is all about. But in addition to that, in the process of getting the gig, we've got to do what anybody else does. We've got to sell ourselves in. My son, by the way, is a professional musician out of Nashville, Tennessee, phenomenal singer-songwriter. He does an incredible show, and he knows firsthand the job isn't just doing the speech or, doing the gig, it's getting the gig. And I'll throw one other thing in there. My idol growing up was a gentleman named Johnny Carson. And Andy, I don't know if you know who Johnny Carson was.
I do.
Yep. One of the hosts of The Tonight Show from the time that I was just a child up until probably about 25 years ago. So I'm 13, 14 years old. My parents are allowing me to watch the monologue every night on late night TV if I could stay up for it. But I remember in an interview that Johnny Carson said, show business is two words, show and business.
Yeah.
And the best entertainers understand that. And he had right brain and left brain thinking going on at the same time. And I recognize, as talented as he was, and he would go in and work with his writers to come up with the monologue, just like we sit down and write music, he would also know how to sell it. He knew how to go out and get a sponsor that would help sponsor and pay for him creating this incredible experience that we know of as The Tonight Show, which is now Jimmy Fallon. Prior to that, Jay Leno. Prior to that was Johnny Carson. Anyway, I took that to heart, and I realized as I was doing my magic business as a kid, doing birthday parties and eventually working in nightclubs, and my parents were teaching me business lessons that I had no idea were business lessons back then. But, how do you get more birthday parties? I mean, there was a point in time I was doing 8 to 10 birthday parties a week. And that was more money than my teachers were making teaching me at school. And I was like 14 years old when this was happening. So it's all the same to me. And I think it's real important that musicians understand that the left brain and the right brain, the creative and the analytical, they don't necessarily need to work together. If you're more creative, as most musicians are, just recognize you have to have a partner and you have to have some sense of knowledge as to what we should be doing. But a good partner, if you're not doing it yourself, needs to have that analytical, more business sense type of brain. Otherwise, you're going to be a creative genius and you might die the starving musician.
Oh, I think many, many friends, unfortunately, might end up down that path. I think it's just...
I hope not.
And it's a bit of an identity thing as well. I think some people feel that that other aspect is... It's not the glamorous romantic side of it, and it might conflict with their identity. But as you just said, if it's not something that's your forte or you feel naturally inclined to, then it's about surrounding yourself with people that do have those skills that can help elevate you, so you can focus on being that creative genius while somebody else can do the more analytical side to it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's, you got to recognize where your strengths are too. That's important. If you're a very creative, just know you're not probably going to end up being that business person that you need. So understand that. But getting back to customer experience and creating loyalty, super fans. It's a great term. It has been bandied around probably for the last 4 or 5 years, but that's what artists have been able to do is generate their following. And I have a friend of mine, Scott Page, who I've had the pleasure of playing with. Well, what he's most famous for was he was a sax player for Pink Floyd. Mm. And that's a pretty strong band. And when you hear all those sax licks on Supertramp music, You're hearing a lot of Scott Page there. Scott and I have been able to play together, and he created a program for musicians that would allow musicians to bypass the major labels in order to get the funding they needed to get into the recording studio. Because it's like anything else. If you've got a product, if you don't have the capital to have the product manufactured or have the sales force needed to go out and do it, you know, what good is the product? Well, you may be a great musician. And his idea was, we've got to create super fans. So I always think, start with the end in mind. How much do you want to make? How much do you need to make? And let's work backwards from there. How many gigs do I have to do? How many engagements? And by the way, if I had a number of fans spending, $50 a year, $100 a year, US dollars, what would that look like? How many fans would I have that were willing to buy my work? Or to engage with me and pay me that kind of money for something I can provide to them. Maybe it's a special recording they get once every quarter that I do in the studio just for my fans. If I had 1,000 super fans paying me $100 a year, well, that's $100,000 a year. And by the way, if you can't get 1,000 super fans in your, you know, within a reasonable period of time, your music may not be all that, and it doesn't need to be commercial, but it may not be all that accepted by who you want your fan base to be. Maybe it's time to tweak that music or figure out a better way to engage with your fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a slight pivot in direction of style.
Yeah. By the way, be careful with the pivot. What happens when you pivot?
Well, you
turn your
direction.
Back.
Oh, yeah.
You turn your back on something, right? Yep. And if you are truly talented, and this is, I'd say, be more flexible. And by the way, I know we're playing with words here, but I like the word flexibility, open-mindedness, as opposed to pivoting. Because if you're really, really good at something and you pivot and you turn your back on it to go another direction, you're making a mistake sometimes. But if you're willing to be flexible and maybe, I look at my daughter, my son's a musician. My daughter was in the music business. She managed bands. She worked with some incredible labels. She was on the management team for Mumford & Sons. And one of the things she learned, you know, really early on is that, and one of her favorite bands was Train. And one of the things she learned early on is what happens when an independent goes commercial. And it really bothered her. She said, you know, I love Train, and now they're coming out with all this. And this was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. They're now coming out with all this commercial music. And I said, well, every once in a while, maybe having something commercial that brings in the money allows them to continue down that kind of indie path and create the music that's more about, you know, who they're really about. But, you know, that one hit that brings in the money allows you to pay for dinner, right? And the lifestyle. So nothing wrong with that. So I'm not opposed to staying in a lane that may not be as popular, but once in a while, you've got to come up with something that people are willing to pay money for.
Yep. Yep. And that makes
sense. That is if you want to eat. And I get it. If you don't want to, I totally understand.
One of the cornerstones to a lot of what you write about is amazing or amazement in different ways, whether it be providing amazement to other people or being amazing yourself. I know it's a very broad topic because you've written whole books about it, but could you, it might be difficult, but can you define amazement to people and why you sit on that word and refer to it in a lot of your writing?
Sure. Wouldn't you always want to do business with somebody that others would say they're amazing? And that's what I, when people say, what do you do for a living? What I tell them, I don't tell them what I do. I ask them a question. Have you ever walked away from a business, you know, engaged with a business, and at the end of talking to somebody or buying whatever, you thought to yourself, wow, those people are amazing. And that's what we try to teach our clients to be, is amazing. But amazing sounds like you have to be over the top, you know, blow me away, the most incredible experience I've ever had. That is not the case at all. I think it's great when you can make that happen. And certain opportunities will allow that to happen. Maybe there's a problem. You know, I've got a client that recently, their speaker became ill, and I got called, and they said, look, we know your fee is far different, but we're in a bind. Can you help us out? I said, not only will I do the speech for you, but you can give the money to the person who was sick. Mm. And they go, really? I go, yeah. And they thought, oh my gosh, this is the most incredible guy in the world. Well, that falls in my lap once every 2 or 3 years. I can't do that every speaking engagement. It's nobody could do that every, you know, music gig you might have or any type of business. But what I can do is I can consistently and predictably do something that exceeds the customer's expectations. And what I mean by that is something as simple as, wow, you called me back pretty quick. So, you know, they call, you know, in the morning and I'm back to them in the afternoon. I'm not into them 3 or 4 days later. And this is what I want my customers to say about me and my business. You know what? Anybody on my team, they get back to me quickly. They're always so engaging. They're always friendly. They're always knowledgeable. They're always helpful. Those are basic, but major expectations. There's nothing over the top with calling somebody back or responding to an email in a reasonable period of time. But when you do it consistently and predictably, they use that word always to describe you, you know, always knowledgeable. That's what I want. I want them to say always followed by something positive. And that positive thing just needs to be a tiny bit better than average. Now, I have written about amazement and managing interactions just like that since the very first book I wrote. In my most recent book, people say, what's different in the book? And I go, well, about 85% of the content is different, but I always have that foundational concept that's in there about being amazing and managing moments of truth and creating moments of magic. So, you know, if you want your fans to say, come on back, and as you want your customers to say, I'll be back, then you've got to manage the experience to create, you know, what I call customer or fan amazement.
One thing that's, it's kind of like a light bulb moment. It's really, it feels silly to sort of articulate it, but a lot of the things that you speak about, and you give great examples, and I think that's what sort of really helps bed in some of these teachings that you put out there. But a lot of it's, you know, what you would think should be common sense when it comes to manners.
It's not so common.
No, that's right. Yeah. You know, authenticity and punctuality or ownership and these things that we should be doing in everyday interactions with everybody. And so for me, like, I find the parallels of not just, you know, in music, but you know, when I read your books, I'm reading it from somebody who's worked in a corporate environment or somebody who's run their own business or just myself who wants to be a better person, a better communicator and have that personal reputation where I can be relied on from my friends or my family or a stranger out in the, you know, everyday world that I interact with. And so it's amazing, there you go, that there's so many just...
I love that word.
Yeah. it's just going to come into my vocab now. But it is amazing that the simplicity of a lot of these things is something that we should all just inherit and have a natural sort of sense of utilization in a day-to-day environment.
Yeah, that word amazement, it sounds like it's like, you know, is that difficult to achieve? No, it's something. Here's the key. You've got to think about it. It's got to be personal, purposeful. You can't just let it happen by accident. Success does not happen by accident. It happens because you plan for it. You think about it. You're engaged in it. You know, you might get the big break because you're very purposeful of being in front of people and going out and doing a gig and playing the you know, for lack of a better term, I'm gonna cuss. It's the shitholes that we don't want to play. You know, it's tough. When the Beatles, one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, if not the greatest, decided that they wanted to be famous, they created a mantra. It was their North Star. It was 3 words long. And Andy, I'm gonna test your music trivia. And if you don't have the answer, don't worry about it because I will have the answer for you. Do you know what those 3 words were?
I do not, Shep.
Okay. I'll give you the first 2 words and you might be able to fill in the third. Bigger than.
Oh.
All right. I'll tell you what happened. John Lennon was once accused of saying we're bigger than Jesus. And he immediately retracted that. Okay. And I'm glad he did because that's, I don't know if that's possible. Okay. But what they did say when they started out was bigger than Elvis.
Yep.
That was the goal. And so when they went to, and by the way, everybody needs that North Star, whatever your business is, you know, do we want to be bigger than, you know, Marriott if we're in the hotel business. We want to be, you know, bigger than whatever restaurant chain, McDonald's. Okay. obviously those are huge, lofty goals, but if that's the type of business you're in, it's a good one. But bigger than Elvis meant every decision that they made kept that in mind. So we're going to go in to do this new album. Are the songs on here going to help make us bigger than Elvis? We're getting ready to go on that tour in Germany. Is this German tour and some of these restaurants and bars and dives that we're going to be playing in, do they make us, or will they make us, bigger than Elvis? So everything had that in mind. And when I talk to clients about being customer-centric and regular types of businesses, what that means is every decision you're making, at least keeping the customer in mind. Granted, you may not make them happy with your decision, but at least you made the decision with the customer in mind. You may choose to work a gig at a place that you know, I'll give you an example. When I was younger and I did magic shows, I was doing a corporate event. And somebody said to me, how often do you do these? I go, like every week or two. And they go, you know, it's really interesting. You're working on making a living, but you're really not working in on your art. Mm. Okay. And I'm thinking, dude, I can't afford to work on my art if I don't make a living. And I don't think there's anything wrong with making a living. And there we go back to that, you know, like Train, when they became commercialized, if you will. Frankly, I love Train. I've seen them 5-6 times in concert. They're phenomenal. And I love that they'll sing their songs, and they'll sing songs from Journey, and they do Led Zeppelin almost as good as Led Zeppelin. Okay. But you know, they know what their roots are and they know what they're all about. So I digress. The point is, you've got to know who you are. You've got to know what you're good at. You've got to know what you need to do to position yourself to get hired. And you've got to have that North Star. You've got to have a goal. Success does not happen by accident. And once you set that goal, you need to set the milestones along the way. This is what business is. When we talk to our clients about trying to increase their customer satisfaction scores, we take a look at where they want to be and where they are right now. And we talk about every step you have to take to get to that goal, that North Star that you want to try to hit.
I think the planning stage is something that a lot of musicians forget about. I think we're sort of in the churn and burn of writing music, putting it out there, and then just waiting for the next cycle to come back through, but not really thinking about how do we want to be, you know, that 1% extra, 1% better than we were the day before, or whatever it might be, but having that sort of projected pathway forward and knowing which direction we're going. And I think
You bring up a really good point, the 1% idea, which, by the way, you and I both were involved in a conference where that was a main theme. If you were just 1% better, if you did something every day to make something you do a tiny bit better, 1%. Okay. Do you know at the end of 100 days, you'd be like twice as good as you are today? Mm.
That's right.
So, and that could be practicing a song. It could be making an extra phone call to an owner of a club that you normally wouldn't make the call, but I'm going to make calls today, and I'll just make one extra call. Let's see what happens. At the end of, you know, a few weeks, you've made, you know, 20, 30 extra calls. I'll bet you get more business as a result of that. When you get on stage, what does that look like? I recognize we have a set list and we have a time frame and we're supposed to hit that. But, you know, if you ask the owner of a club, hey, would it be, I know you want me to end around noon, around midnight. What happens after midnight? Oh, you know, I just don't want to, we aren't going to pay you past midnight. Okay, what time does the club close? Closes at 1 a.m. All right, well, do you have a problem if I go to 12:10, 12:15? No. Hey, what is Bruce Springsteen famous for? Not famous for a short concert, that's for sure.
No.
Long concerts, more than you thought you were going to get. The money's worth, if you will. And that's the way we need to think. We need to think abundantly. What can we do more for our fans, more for the people that hire us, to make them say, wow, they always give 101%, that extra 1%. They always give me a little bit more than I thought I was going to get. We're always a little bit better than average.
And it just goes back to that whole amazing concept as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So keeping an eye on the time, Shep, but I think a really important point is to talk about the book that's just recently come out. I'll Be Back. Love the trailer, by the way. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you want to give just a
and
quick...
And for those that don't know, what is he talking about? I created a little movie trailer for the book. And I put on my sunglasses and I look like the Terminator. So the title, I'll Be Back, is the title. The subtitle is How to Get Customers to Come Back Again and Again. And about three paragraphs, probably was three sentences, into writing the outline, just an outline. I had in my mind what I wanted to write about, and I started to write this outline. I thought, let's see, who made the term "I'll be back" famous? And it was Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator, of course. By the way, depending on your age, you might remember General MacArthur in the U.S. when he was over in the Philippines also said, "I'll be back." Okay, didn't have the Austrian accent. But anyway, I digress. The "I'll be back" in the first movie, Terminator, was him coming back to blow up a police station. But subsequent movies, he used those words, "I'll be back," and they were typically for good reasons. "I'm coming back. I'm here to, I'm coming back to help you. I'll be back to be here, you know, to be with you," those kinds of things. So I love this idea, this concept of, you know, getting your customers to say, "I'll be back." And in our business, it's, "I'll hire you again," you know, when it's the music industry. So that's what we want our customers to say. And it's important that we strategize on ways that we'll get that to happen. You know, here's a real simple one. When I was a kid, 12 years old, I did my first birthday party magic show. And when I came home, my mom said, "What are you going to do after dinner?" And it was a school night. So I thought the correct answer was, "Well, I'm going to do homework." But the true answer was, "You're going to write a thank you note to those people that just paid you money." Mm. How many thank you notes do we write to the club owners, to the pub owners, to the, you know, whatever, whoever decided to hire us? Just a little short note that says, "Really enjoyed working with you. Thanks so much. Hope we can do it again sometime. Sincerely, you know, Andy." How many musicians take 3 minutes to do that? What could that possibly do? Wow. I mean, to me, it's like the art of the handwritten note. It's, I just wrote an article about this. As a matter of fact, the handwritten note, it went like this. There was an older gentleman talking to two younger employees. He goes, "Write a letter." And one of the employees, the younger one, says to the other, "Letter? What's a letter? Is that a new app for my iPhone?" You know, so it's old school. And sometimes old school is really, really good.
I just as a quick side comment, I, in the band, also handle all the merchandise and all of our online orders. So every time we send something out to somebody all over the world, I'm always including a handwritten note. And as I'm walking down to the post office or wherever to ship these items off, I'm doing a little YouTube video to say thank you as well. And I do that every single order. And sometimes, you know, some days you think, "Oh, geez, it's a bit tedious," but it has such a massive impact on the thrill or that amazement that we've been talking about. But I think for me also, it helps me retain my purpose and my fulfillment of being able to have that impact and connection with people as well. So mm-hmm. I'm a big advocate for handwritten notes. And I think to be able to extend that and write those thank you letters and get into the habit of doing something that's a bit disruptive these days. I mean, it's an old school approach, but it's disruptive.
Here's something really easy. I mean, thank you notes are old school, but you know what's more unique? Not old school, but it keeps up with technology. It's more than a text. It's more than an email. It's a short little video thank you. You can do it on your iPhone and send it, but there's programs like bombbomb.com that allow you to have to where you're not sending a large file, which means it's more likely to be open without having to download it and buffer it on your phone, but you just click on it and it opens up on a server that's in the cloud. Well, that's a beautiful thing. So think about if you get off the phone with the client that's interested in booking you, and you pick up your guitar, you sit down at your keyboard and whatever, and you just, you know, the video turns on and or play a little lick and say, "Hey, just want to tell you, I really enjoyed talking to you. Thanks so much. And hope we get to work together. Let me know if you have any questions. Otherwise, I'll hear from you later," whatever. But that short video that's 20 seconds long could have massive, massive impact. And I would, when I'm finished with speaking engagements and I'm on, I leave the stage, I say my thank yous, I get in the car and I'm on my way to the airport, I pull out my iPhone and I have my BombBomb app on there and I click on it and I go, "Hey, it's Shep. As you can see in the background is the resort. I'm headed to the airport. I just wanted to take another moment to say thank you." And you know, once in a while, I will see, because I can track how many times it's open. It can get open 20, 30, 40 times because the person I sent it to, the client that hired me, is saying, "Look what this guy just sent us."
There you go. It becomes a talking point. And, yep. And it's a great way to connect further on a deeper level. Love it. Shep, thank you so much. I've got a bunch of links here. I'm going to put them in the show notes so people can discover you. But Shep, where's the best place for people to be directed toward?
Just go to hyken.com, hyken.com, and you'll find everything there is about me right there.
Shep, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Great to be here. Thank you, Andy. Hope we get to do it again.
Now, if you want to dive into Shep's world, you can go to hyken.com. You can also follow Shep on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching Shep Hyken. He's also got an amazing YouTube channel packed with great videos, and I'm going to dump all this stuff, including links to his brand new book, I'll Be Back, which is available on Amazon and hyken.com, in the show notes over at andysocial.net and andydowling.net, or wherever you're listening to this podcast through right now, go to the description. There'll be a bunch of clickable links in there. Nice and easy. And while I'm on it, I've got 5 Shep Hyken books here. They're a mixture of stuff from his book back catalog, and I'm willing to ship them anywhere in the world because I'm a nice guy and you're a nice person for listening to me waffle on right now. So first in, best dressed, if you're keen on getting some customer service gold, then hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or on the website, wherever. Just search for at Andy Dowling, or go to the websites. You know how to contact me. I'm so not hard to find on the internet. So there you go. Massive thank you to Shep. And as I said in the intro, this is a world that I'm really fascinated with, and I'm absorbing so much knowledge and information in the customer service world, which I'm translating into music and e-commerce. So for me, there are so many amazing people out there in this space who are not just providing great customer service tips, but there's a lot of great self-development tools, like just to be a better person, a better communicator, build better relationships with not just, you know, a customer or a supporter or a fan or anything like that, but your family members, your best friends, you know, strangers, people that you meet. And there's just so many great tips and tricks out there from these amazing people in the customer service world. So I'm going to get a few more of them on, and we'll tailor these topics to hopefully bring some more value and interest to all of you as well. So stay tuned for all that. In the meantime, I'm chugging away. I've got more and more episodes coming very soon. Next week's episode, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's another musician, an Aussie musician. I'm going to get a few Aussies on over the coming weeks, and it's somebody who hasn't been on the podcast before, and hopefully will be a pleasant surprise for some of you. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, dig through the podcast back catalog. There's over 308 episodes now. Dig through right back to 2015 up till now. There's everything from every corner of every industry and interest, and I'm trying to fill every hole, and now I've filled the customer service hole with an expert, and I'm just going to keep finding all these amazing people out there to keep building the Andy Social catalog of podcast guests, and I don't even know what I'm talking about now. So enough crapping on for me. I'm wrapping it up. Until next week, folks, take care and ta-ta. Larry, please.